Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. And I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew, born in Arkansas.
I am a Hebrew, I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew, I was born in Indiana.
I am a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私はヘブルで、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea, nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew from West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Way.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom, daughters of Zion. Greetings from the Straight Way Tabernacle. It's Sister Ashley. I'm the host by myself tonight. Sister Jennifer is off on a trip to Green Bay. Greetings and shout out and special thank yous to her and Elder Rufus for going up to Green Bay and supporting our pastor. Peace and blessings be upon them. It's going to be a beautiful time up there. I know it will. For any and all of you who are allowed or going up there, it's going to be a pretty big group, pretty good meeting. So I can't wait to hear the stories when they get back. So I do definitely miss her. You're going to hear me tonight. I'm not alone in the sound room. I'm just alone as the host. So give me some tens if you can hear me well. I hope that you watched Elder Becker's video. That's what sparked this show. Elder Becker did a really awesome video of his 17 years here. I think it was called My 17-Year Experience on Community, something like that. So please check it out if you haven't so far. But that sparked tonight's show because I have with me two of the beginners, two of the women who were here when it started or when it was within its first year and up and running. I have with me Sister Vicky and Sister Tomoko. And we are a established community. And we hope that we can bring you some fun, some memories. We hope to prove to you that we are a family. We hope to dispel anything that is false in anyone's mind who is striving to get past the fact that something could be wrong with us, because social media tears down the way that we live. So what we have going on is beautiful. It's beautiful. And I hope to express that tonight as we just chit-chat back and forth. So it's going to be a different show than normal, and I'm excited about it. I won't do as much talking. Hopefully it'll just be a lot of questions from me. So we have an established community, Daughters of Zion. We have sisters and brothers from Japan, Miami, Puerto Rico, Tennessee, Michigan, Florida, California, Oklahoma. We have a military baby who's no longer a baby, but she had no roots. We have Minnesota and Indiana. That is the variety of the places that the Most High has picked us out of and placed us here, boots on the ground right here on Straightway. So someone from all of those states lives here and represents the Most High from those areas. So we're roughly, let's see, half of those that are here now, wouldn't you say, Sister Vicky, were here between the years of 1999 and 2010? Roughly half of you all made it within the first, 10 years or so. Then I came on board, I think, 2010, and the rest of the residents sometime after 2010. So it's been a vision to become set apart all those years ago. And when I came here, I had never seen a place like it, and I'm sure most of you share the same story, whether you see us online or whether you visited. You've never seen a place like it, or maybe you don't understand why. But maybe you read it in Acts chapter 2, and you see the Bible being expressed and lived through us here. So we're just going to talk to you about some things. I know there's communities started up. Straightway has ministries or communities getting started. I think 7 other communities are starting around us because of Pastor Dow's vision. So let's acknowledge the Father for that. I praise his holy name for meeting so many of you all and for him gathering so many of you all. So many of you all out from wherever you have been, wherever you come from. I would not have known you. We would not have been a people. And we were so different when I moved here as opposed to what Yah is doing now with the gathering. So I thought you might be interested in hearing some of the things that we talk about tonight. So special shout out to Sister Diane, who was supposed to be here tonight, and something has come up to hinder her. So keep her lifted. She wasn't able to make it here, and possibly on another show I will have her on. If you all like tonight's segment, if you want to hear more, if you have community questions, you know you can call in tonight. But if you would like me to do more of these community shows, you can always put your request in at straightwayhelpmeet@gmail.com. Send us an email. So I thank you, Father, for the 2 that are with me here that are full of wisdom, knowledge, and the Holy Spirit, and that have helped me along my way. I know a lot of you see my face or hear me or hear my name, but there's so many more than just me. There's so many more than just Mother Carol or whoever's name you may be, may remember, or whoever you may talk to. There's so many of us. So I hope you'll be interested in tonight's topic. Let's lean to Sister Tomoko first. If you'll just give yourself an introduction to everyone listening tonight. Let them know who you are.
Shout out to all the mothers and daughters of Zion. My name is Sister Tomoko. At first, I would like to give honor to the Most High, who sent only begotten Son, Yeshua, to redeem me from the hand of Satan, who forgave my sins and my iniquities,
hallelujah,
and gave me the power to overcome everything that Satan might put the snare for me to fall. Also give honor to Pastor Dow, my shepherd, who labored in the world so hard and watch over my soul. And also give honor to my master, Brother Richard, who are my savior of my body, work very hard to provide me and his children constantly.
Hallelujah.
Yes, and
Where are you from? You can't hide your accent.
Yes, ma'am. I apologize. I was born in Japan and raised. And I was there until 22 years old, and I came up here. So,
Tomoko, how many years have you been here? From the beginning, almost, right?
19 years and 1 month. I never forget when I first came here. That was October 30th, 1998.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am. After we had a meeting at the South Carolina, I met the pastor Dow. He invited me to come here to visit. And then he let me stay.
Hallelujah. October the 30th of 1998.
That's correct.
Many of you were either not born or you were getting ready for the Halloween bash the very next night and the very next day. So this is amazing, huh? Going back to 1998, you've been serving the Father? Wow. Anything else to say before I...
Oh, yes, ma'am. I have a same testimony like a Sister Ashley have. When I first came here, I was amazed that the love that the people have here. Yes, everybody helped me to stay.
You're blessed by everyone's light,
yes,
huh?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I was just amazed. And I'm so blessed. Pastor Dow make a way for me to stay, permit me to stay.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Bless you. Let's lean to Sister Vicky for a minute. Just introduce yourself. Where you're from, how long you've been here. Who are you, Vicky? Who are you?
Okay, as Ashley said, this is Sister Vicky. I originally hail from the state of Indiana. And I've been here for just about 19 years.
Wow. Just about 19 years.
I met Pastor at a meeting, back in 95, I think, the first time I met him.
95.
And he was fellowship with some people I was fellowship with, and he didn't have the community then, but, you know, I met him a few times, you know, for the next 2 years, and kind of like Sister Tomoko's story, it was in the end of 98, he invited me to come down for a visit. We came down for myself and my children for a visit about 2 or 3 times in a 2 or 3 month period, and then he invited us to live here, and we've been here ever since. And I've been blessed to be under a man of Yah who has allowed me to grow spiritually, which you kind of know my backstory. I've been to a lot of communities and had been fellowship with one of them for a lot of years before I met Pastor, and at all those communities I never had the opportunity to grow spiritually like I did since I've been here and under Pastor Dow.
Hallelujah. So it wasn't foreign for you to hear about a community, right?
No, not at all. I was very familiar with them.
Hallelujah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Give me just a moment. I want to make sure everything's up and running. Hold on. All right, thanks for the pause. I didn't play anything because we're just having server issues, and we're having to refresh continually to keep some of the buttons up, so I didn't have a song to click on currently. But it's good to know that we are going live and that you're able to hear us. I think it's on Blog Talks, and we're having errors. So let's jump back to some questions. And if you want to chat with any of us or all of us tonight, you're going to have to call in. It's 515-602-9654. Call in and ask us anything community-based. But why has Yah brought you here, Sister Vicky?
Why? That's kind of hard to answer. I really believe this is the place that he had for me or intended me to be. I think he has a place for each of us. That, you know, like I said, like in the kingdom, we each have a spot. We each, like in the building here, we're the block, we're not the whole building, and this is just my place for my block to be.
Hallelujah, very good answer. And Sister Tomoko, so you've been here 19 years and a month, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
So you've seen a lot of changes.
Absolutely.
When I got here, it was very small, and you remember it being very small. You
yes.
remember when there was more than when I got here,
right?
You started
right.
out in larger numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So we went from a very close-knit family,
mm-hmm.
Campouts in the backyard, hot dogs and weenie roast, Brother Rich playing on the guitar,
mm-hmm.
really awesome nights together as just a bonding family, to all of a sudden now we're this. Through this ministry, and
mm-hmm.
The Father's really using pastor to get the word out. So what's a good drastic change you've seen as we have made our way from a family to a large ministry or a larger family?
Yes, ma'am. I think many saints out there know the truth and set free from the bondage, come out of heart. That is a good thing. Many people gonna set free from the pastor's message, from the pastor's vision.
Yes,
that is a good thing.
That is a good thing. Good answer, because so many people may look at us. What do you think people think of when they just see us and they've never been here, Tomoko? She's looking at me like, she has to think hard about these questions because they're not wrote down. What do you think people see when they click on Pastor Dow and they click on our community videos or when they listen to his anything that they partake of and they're way out there? What do you think, with an American mind, not with our mind, what do you think they
yes,
think?
Yes, ma'am, I bet that's you know, at first I did not like a Pastor Dow until I met him and known him, because yes, very rude to you, but you know, actually known Pastor Dow, I have a right away witness of he's a shepherd.
Yes,
he's a very kind, very compassionate person. And
why is it so scary to live so close together like we do on one piece of land? Why is that so?
I don't want to change.
Right.
So individual, my space, my idea, don't want to give up.
Right.
But it's a blessing, though. Really, really blessing like this, you know?
It is a blessing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's the only way for us.
That's
anyway.
Right. That just a Satan is lying to you, you know.
Yes.
Yes.
To keep you away from visiting or living this way. Yes, it's a beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yes,
it's beauty on earth. Sister Vicky, why are you here? Why are you here, Vicky? You get on my nerves, Vicky. Why are you here, Vicky? You need to leave, Vicky. This is me and Vicky. We have this relationship. Okay. Tell the world. Tell the listeners. Why are you here?
Why am I here? I'm here because I believe it's the Father's will for my life.
Absolutely.
To give everything that I have, which is myself, not physical things, to Him, which means giving Him my life completely, everything I do, every moment. Basically, as you're living, you're living it for Him, to honor Him, to do His work, whatever needs to be done, whether it be something physically that needs done or spiritually to help someone, that's our life. That's our purpose for being here.
It's so true. And explain to me this. If I'm listening out there and I'm hearing you say this, what if I'm hearing it, well, you must be, you know, doing everything Pastor says. Everything he says plus nothing. He must be running around here telling us exactly what we need to be doing at all times. You know how it can be taken. But what you're saying is really, truly giving yourself to the Father every minute, every day. How can you explain to them that that's what we're doing while we are submitting ourselves into a leader as he leads us? But what do you mean you're actually giving all of you to the Father?
Well, that's just when you give yourself, fully give yourself, all of yourself, it's not just your financial means or your personal property. You are giving of yourself. That means you're giving everything that you do is focused towards what the Father wants for His people, for His purpose. And so that is what we are here for, and we do it willingly. That's why we came this way. That's what is in our hearts and our spirits to do, to be in that much of a oneness with Him as much as possible. And it's not that we're, yes, we have a man over us that makes the final decisions on things, because a business has to have a CEO or a president, a vice president, making the final decisions. You can't have a community without someone being there to make the final decisions. you can't have a family without someone there being there to make the final decision. And so, yes, we are following a man in that particular respect, but we're doing it unto the Father, and we're doing it as he follows and is obedient to the Father and his will and in the focus that he has put us towards what he wants us to do.
Right. And, you know, we don't ever run around defending ourselves from the enemies or telling everyone out there, just explaining ourselves away, like, no, we're doing this. You think we're doing this, but this is what we're doing. You don't ever see us as a community running around like that. And I'm going to take it way back to even when I first got here, which is, remember, only 10 years ago, which is only half the time that these sisters before you tonight have been here. You lose everything to come this way, but you count it as nothing to be here and to be with the people. And you don't, when you make the move to step onto a land and live here and commit yourself for the rest of your life, you're not worried at all of how it's going to be seen or what anyone's thinking or saying or how the world's going to receive you. And at that time, YouTube was not around, right, Sister Vicky, when you...
Yeah, well, you didn't do stuff on the Internet. I mean, Internet was available, but it was...
No social media.
None of that.
No. So this was way before Internet. We've been doing this unto the Father. I say we, but even they have been doing this unto the Father before social media now has this microscope and the ability and power to make it look so bad or to even focus on those who have had a corrupt community, because that's out there too. And so you can take, let your mind really wander depending upon what documentaries you've ever watched, right? So I want to really prove to y'all we have an amazing thing going. And if you saw Elder Becker's video, he talked about how much peace we have here, and it is true. Can y'all attest to the this is the most peace we've had?
Yes, definitely.
In 19 years?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, in 19 years?
Oh, positively.
And it's just going to keep getting better. So we are such an awesome crew of people. And, you know, you might see us at a feast when there's 200-plus people here, and you don't really get to bask in how we are and how we function one to another and how we deal with each other and sit with each other, or, you know, how we homeschool or we just go about our daily tasks, how we're just living. And so I'm going to jump over to Sister Tomoko,
yes,
talk of some good memories, or if you'll just even start, actually, let's go this way, with what it was like to lose everything that you had before coming here, or was it losing anything?
No, ma'am.
Not at all. Not at all. No loss.
I apologize, but yes, ma'am. I was deep in sin before, and I lost everything because of my sin.
See, and then that was train wreck.
Yes.
And Most High then showed me, you know, the way. So I didn't lose anything. Gained everything. Yes, ma'am.
So give me some good memories of how we were before YouTube and the microscope and the Big Brother and the camera all over us.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Well, that's the time is the best time I had. Like, we did not have any money, potential, any money for a while. But we don't have to pay a bill. Any water bill,
right? Electric bill, phone bill, no bills.
And everything we needed, we had it. Pastor Dao always provide us everything we need, we want, you know. And
think about
this, Pastor Dao, that he gave us the best quality of stuff to us. Think about now, we buy socks at the Walmart. It doesn't last a week. Guess what?
Pastor Dao
bought the socks last. Years. That's an example I give you.
Good quality stuff.
Yeah, he gave us the best of the best.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. Vicky has 19-year-old socks. I'm looking at them.
Wow.
If I could see the emojis in the room, I'm sure they were, like, flying up with their
yes,
ha-has,
ma'am,
and the hee-hees. 19-year-old socks. You got to know Vicky.
Yes, ma'am. What?
It's a family joke.
Right. Anyway, we did it together working, and also the other, sometimes we had a movie night.
Mm-hmm.
We went to bowling together.
Bowling, yes.
And we did, of course, a fellowship night we had. And
game night.
Game night,
yeah.
Yes, and also the other night that the Pastor Dao leader
warfare books that everybody to listen. We did that. And we traveled together with community to community.
Like on a bus?
Right. And see, we don't have any money ourselves, but we did all that together.
And we're so happy.
Yes, we are close. Yes. We talk very open. Yep.
And so we watched each other get older,
yes,
grow
ma'am.
Older.
That's right. Yes, man. So that was a good memory that we did together. That's my memory. Yes,
I
mean,
yeah, I mentioned just briefly moments ago, if y'all heard me, says the weenie roast, the hot dogs and the campfires and the Brother Rich playing the guitar, and we're in somebody's backyard, and we went over to all of us together. We camped out. It wasn't a feast day. We just camped out because we wanted to. We just put up tents in the yards, especially for the children's sake. We told stories, and we hung out all night and made clean marshmallow s'mores. But what's some good memories, Sister Vicky? We're telling the world tonight that we're a family.
We are, and a lot of people, I don't think they can really understand that or have a concept of one because they haven't lived it. So it's one of those things you can look out and kind of try and perceive, but until you experience it, you really don't know what it's like. And as a group, we are more of a family in many ways than what most people are with their blood family. There's a closeness, a unity, a oneness, not in just what we do, but in how we think and how we operate. We're just automatically on the same wavelength, so to speak.
Right.
And so we're in a family in more ways than, like I said, even people out there are in their own families. They can't understand it. They can't, you know, it's out of the concept to see how we could be. But it's not just the fun things we did, like I said, all the things you mentioned, or the mandatory soccer ball games, or the snowball fight that we had went up and down the road and the hill to make sure everybody got bombed. You know,
dancing in the street on one of the first
yeah, dancing
days.
In the street, you know, booming music outside. Just our fellowship nights, doing the games, we just go all and spend a day going fishing all day long. You know, just stuff that we just did, just
getting close to each other.
And we did it as we. It really, like I said, it's hard to explain because if you haven't experienced it, you don't understand. But it's just it's just the closest we would die for each other.
Mm-hmm.
We would do anything for each other.
Yep.
That's not to say families don't have their problems. Every family does. You know.
Sure.
Shoot. You know, we're human too.
Right. But we got a good thing going.
But our balance far outweighs on the good side
far
versus
outweighs.
The other way.
It's
so
true.
And
no matter how much pain or anything that you have or we have experienced together or the growing pains, et cetera, the like you said, the good far outweighs.
I mean, how many people out there, even in their own families, when one of their family members goes down with an illness, something severe or injury, are they there taking care of them, cooking for them, cleaning up after them, you know? And here, that's been done multiple times with multiple different individuals with different situations that went on. And we don't think anything about it. That's just part of our being a family, you know, and it's
true.
It's
all the children here are your grandchildren,
yeah.
And all the husbands are our brothers. Anything to add on that, Sister Tomoso? Is this the truth?
Yeah, it is the truth.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And as Pastor says, Sister Vicky, this race is not given to
the swift,
the sprinters.
Yeah,
this
the sprinters.
Is the no. marathon
yeah, this
runners.
Is the marathon
right?
runners.
What does that mean, based on community understanding?
It is enduring in a way because one, we do learn each other. We know each other's faults. We know each other's strengths. And when you come into this kind of life, you have to have a made-up mind. And many people who start this walk
waver.
Do not mm-hmm. have that made-up mind. That's why they waver. That's why they're wishy-washy. That's why they're up, they're down. And that's also why even though something happens, say something does cause an offense, they can't go over that offense because they did not have that made-up mind to start with.
And if you don't have that made-up mind, something like, let's take Tomoko's example, living without running water for how many years?
Oh, 19 years.
19
in my
years.
House. Yes, ma'am, but this kind of
mindset of American people, I think, because it doesn't bother me much. Well, for example, before I came here, I was living in Flint, Michigan. Oh, gosh, what do you think of the water?
Yeah, right.
Running on the poison water in the house? Come on now.
Yeah,
which
nasty.
One is better, running in poison water or in front of my yard, in front of our house, in a nice
creek.
And the well water in the dining hall, the best filtration water that we can drink. Pastor is very big on the water, and he always provides us to the best, like distilled water, filtered water. What do you call that?
Filtered water.
That's right. That changed too. See, that I have that access to that. When I was living in city, I was vexed, very vexed. I'm better than most of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice clean water steps away.
Absolutely.
Hands down beats the
absolutely.
Unclean water that you can turn on in a tap in your home.
That's correct. That's I think.
But something like that, 19 years of not having running water, I jump back to you, Vicky. That could take you out of the race if you don't have your mind made up, huh?
Oh, yeah. And that did take some people out.
Wow,
it's like
really?
Some people not having a toilet to go in. You know, they couldn't, even though our buckets are basically a toilet, you just don't flush it.
Right.
You know, people couldn't handle it. They couldn't handle, it goes back to also what we were talking about earlier about giving themselves. They didn't have a made-up mind, and they basically deceived themselves in believing that they were giving themselves up to this, you know, to the Father, to what He wanted. But they couldn't give up they couldn't give up their own time. They couldn't give up, you know, what I'm trying to say, just like they
couldn't give them themselves and give
they couldn't. It's just, and also all these little things are all little
excuses.
That's exactly what they were.
And you've been here for every cutoff when people couldn't handle the buckets and the no running water cutoff, and you couldn't do the head covers cutoff, and couldn't do deliverance cutoff.
Yeah.
So you've witnessed the.
People have been cut off because they were told they needed to milk the cow. And it was too beneath them, they couldn't milk the cow. You know, I mean, just little things like that, which is like, shows that, because they never really gave themselves up. They never gave up their own will. And that's one thing you have to do to live a community life, which is what is described to us in the book of Acts, is that basically a community life. And that's the biggest thing people won't give up is their own will.
And I noticed when I got here, there were a lot of things that my flesh was, let's say, uncomfortable with, you know, touching this, or, you know, because you're American made in this country, so, you know, when you're too clean for this, and you don't want to touch this, you don't want to do that, I made myself conquer those things mentally. No one had to come over my shoulder and say, this is what you need to be doing. I recognized within myself what I didn't like doing, and I made myself do that in order to make myself stronger. You know, I didn't like we have a system of washing dishes, and we have a pre-wash tub, okay? That's no problem now, but my first few weeks here, I'm like, that is some nasty water. I don't want to stick my hand in that shit. I mean, that's what my mind is thinking. So, I made myself pre-wash day after day after day after day after day, so you no longer hear that voice, because I'm not going to be hindered by some of those fleshly things. But honestly, when you make the move to come community, any little thing is going to just pile up. This is an issue, that's an issue. You get paired up with the wrong person, you can guarantee they're going to minister you right up out of here. You could be thinking, this is wonderful, this is beautiful, and you got everything going on in the community, but boom, you get yourself partnered up with somebody that's not going to agree with you, or they're going to bitch, moan, and complain about every little step all along the way. Tell me I'm wrong. That can take you right on out.
Oh, yeah, it can. And
it has.
And it's taking people out. Like I said, that also goes back to having a made-up mind, too. But, getting the allowing people's disgruntlement. You know, but then again, they're their garbage can, and they're a willing garbage can for that, because actually they're in agreement with it. They just don't want to speak their agreement.
There you go. And you got to acknowledge that within your own spirit.
Yeah.
You got to see who you're with, who you're hanging with, who's listening.
Because if you're going to go this route, that's one thing you're going to learn is you're going to learn who you really are.
Yep. So true, right, Tomoko?
So true.
Have you learned who you really are?
Yes, ma'am.
And the Most High's mercy?
Absolutely.
Talk to me. What else is on your mind?
Painful experience that who you are, knowing who you are, Most High showing to you. My opinion, most people don't have an endurance to stay here to learn who you are. You know, as soon as I say learn, about pointing the finger of the everybody else.
Right.
And then quit. And you stay there, endure. And Most High is going to show it to you.
Mm-hmm.
You. Yeah,
yes.
Really painful experience, but that's a growing pain that you have to go through.
You have to go through.
Right, to be grow in a spirit.
That's right.
And people just easily quit.
Easily quit.
Like our Sister Vicky said, don't have a made up a mind. Yes, that's true.
So tell me, yes, it is sad. And tell me what it was like in your mind. Here you come. You get this invite to come and stay here or come live here.
Mm-hmm.
What was the reality of moving here like? Okay, now you're here. You've been here a few years. You're settled. What is that reality sinking into your mind? What was that like in compared to your expectations? Did you expect more or less, or did you think it was going to be different? Or did you have expectations?
What expectation? Well, at first, when I come into this community, of course, the mind battle, that the spiritual battle is so intense. The devil tell you, you cannot do this. Yeah, that's what I went through. But I was so vexed with the world that it is very difficult to keep the commandment, to try to obey Most High out there.
Okay, yes.
So I really wanted to be with like-minded people. That's only my thing. That'd be a beautiful thing. That's only I had.
So it far exceeded your expectations.
Oh, absolutely. It is. Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Sister Vicky? What was moving here like? You had known of community living before.
Yes. I can't say anything was really a surprise because I pretty much knew what to expect. The biggest thing with me was actually making that final move was actually a couple of things. One was I knew once I made that step that I was going to be held to a much higher accountability than what I ever had been.
No looking back.
And so that put a lot of godly fear on me in that respect because I knew, okay, I'm making this and I know this, and so I know my accountability is going to be held a lot higher. And the second thing for me was this, living out there, myself, my children, having faith in the Father and knowing He supplied, because you know a lot of my background stories,
yes,
and things that happened. We were always taken care of. You know, it didn't have anything for rent, and then something, boom, have rent would be paid, you know. And so having that kind of faith, and I could go on for hours of the countless
times
of
the Father has shown
yeah, miracle
himself.
Stuff where they just took care of stuff, and I knew I had no worries or anything with the Father. But it took another level of faith for me to put my life and my children's life in the hands of someone else now to take care of.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't have that level or aren't to that level yet to be able to do that. And that's part of their fears of the community or not wanting to go fully out all the way with the community. You know, they might want to be around a community, want to be part of it, but they don't want to be fully in one. And I think part of that is because that takes another level of faith that you have to come to be able to trust putting yourself in the hands and not Father. I mean, everybody's, oh, I trust the Father, you know.
Right.
But to be able to trust another man.
Uh-huh.
And
he is very deserving, Pastor,
yes,
of
very.
Our trust.
And that was the big leap of faith for me. Coming to the community.
Especially having, you know, the traumas, the deep hurts, the past, the brokenheartedness, the et cetera, all the reasons not to trust a man.
Yes.
You know, and that's true. So you get to come here, you get to be healed, you know, and be set free and just be settled in spirit. So for you, is it the same story? This has far exceeded expectations living here?
As far as like community life?
Or spiritual?
Yeah, that's
or?
Pretty much, it's pretty much what I expected community life to be.
It's fulfilling everything that you expect.
But it's taken me even further spiritually than what I thought it would.
Yeah.
I knew I would grow further spiritually because even being associated and with other communities and stuff, it was, I can even feel, I mean, one time I remember telling Pastor for like 6 months prior to coming here, feeling so stagnant. You know, no growth, but, you know, it's just like, what is it? Thinking there's something wrong with me.
Right.
You know, and, but it has to depend with the spirit, and that kind of goes into Elder Becker's, what he talked about on his video about his experience being in the community for 17 years. He's talking about pastor always had a different spirit. And I can definitely second that, being around a lot of other communities and ministers and stuff like that, that even though they this one may had, you know, a positive area here and that one may have a different positive area, but none of them had the love and the spiritual peace and the...
The drive, the desire.
It's just that, the drive and desire. But, I mean, when you come here, it's just a totally different spirit. And every community is going to have the spirit that the leader has.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just totally different with Pastor Dow versus the other ones that I had experience with. And I can honestly say that I never had the total peace in my mind until I came here, even though I had a lot out there considering. But I never had the total peace in my mind that I had once I came here and felt like so many burdens lift off me, just I no longer had to worry about, no had a concern about, which is really saying a lot with me because, you know, that I just really, I had
spirit.
There was the fears weren't there because it's just like I knew. This is somebody that I could totally trust in every way. And that just, and you just didn't have that even under other ministries and other communities.
And that's just amazing 20 years later that he still has that much trust.
Still has it.
And even more. You
and
know,
more.
In all of our hearts. And we just have a beautiful thing going on. So Tomoko brought it up earlier, driving around as a family in a bus to other communities, to other places, taking trips together. This is what we did. So when I go to you, Tomoko, tell me, before YouTube and before social media, when we were just, you know, taking the trips and doing what we were doing, what was life like for you?
Oh, there was a peace.
Just like now? Any different?
Yes, ma'am.
Go into that if you can. Explain the difference.
Difference?
Mm-hmm.
But back then, we are really work hard to build up, process of building a community.
It was a piece of land with nothing on it, right?
Well, when I came here, there was a trailer there. We painted, cleaned it, those process, and we are very busy gardening. We have a more bigger garden, you know what I mean? So we are very busy building,
establishing,
right,
the foundation.
So we don't have the time for it.
Right.
We retire, we go home and read the Bible and pray and go sleep, you know what I mean?
Day after day, tired.
Right.
No time for social media or the world.
Right. And more social media, we had a family fun. You know what I mean? We did together for fun too on the evening. And even we had a choir practice, you know, together, all of them. Pastor Dow, our director. That was really funny. Anyway, so we are busy that day, like that. For
something was
shipping.
Always going on.
That's correct. So
now it's different how life
different,
here.
Well, we are more...
Pastor is more busy
doing
different things than he ever was. He was busy
in
a different way.
Yes,
so I think everybody's function is just different.
Yes,
different
ma'am.
Busy.
Well, that's true. I'm busy because I'm mother of three, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a kind of different.
So
yes.
Tell me a little bit about mother of three, homeschooling.
Yes,
anything
ma'am.
Anything you think they want to know out there?
Yes, ma'am. Well, I am very blessed to raising my children in here, this community, of course. Well, because I did not know how to raise my children. Because, you know, out there, it's a mother send the children to the public school.
Mm-hmm.
So really don't know how to raise the children.
Right.
But I learned it through mothers. Like here, I was my time was a mother, Tony was here. It really helped me. She really helped me. She directed Tony, you don't know how to raise your children. You got to learn it. And really, I cry a lot by her, but she tell me the truth.
Yes.
I learned. Yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And I think they were really young when I got here. Tears
yes.
was probably 1 or 2 years
yes,
old,
ma'am.
And now she's what, 9 or 10?
10. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I remember the beginning, but I never had the sight to see. It's easy to come here and to visit
mm-hmm.
and not really consider the lives of the people here or to see the struggle or the fruit, good or bad. You can come here, selfish, just coming through thinking about yourself and leave thinking about yourself, or you can come with a teachable spirit and actually sit at the feet, which is what I tried to do. I came here with a lot of pride. I didn't mean to, but that's what I had. That was, I had a lot of pride on me. But I sat at people's feet, and I learned and I grew from those who have been here. And I think that's missing. Having a teachable spirit is definitely missing in this generation.
Yes.
I heard you. I was waiting for somebody else to talk anyway. Let me go over here to Vicky, who still has her 19-year-old socks on. I'm going to you. What do you mean? This generation is missing a teachable spirit. Why or how or what's going on?
Well, it was like the willingness.
The willingness.
They I don't know if it's like this generation, a lot of head knowledge, but they just... they don't want to truly submit. They'll submit with their mouths,
mm-hmm.
but they won't submit with their actions. And they will, they'll hear. Like you can be instructing them on something, and they'll be agreeing with you, but they can't put any of it into play. And it's, it's a willingness. They're not really willing to do it. And again, it goes back to deceiving themselves. They think they're being submissive. They think they're giving themselves. They think they're doing this, but they really aren't. And many of them can't see that. And they're not going to grow until they do.
Or making the mistake, explain this statement, that we're all on the same understanding level.
Oh. No, yeah, the people think they're on the same level just because they...
And we're not arrogant by saying any means.
All of us here on the land are on the same level.
Right.
And we certainly are on the same level as the elders or our pastor.
Right.
So,
by divesting yourself, by living here, divesting yourself of self, continually giving all, being selfless, and, prayer, fasting, et cetera, all these things, Yah has afforded us the ability to get cleaner. So
yes.
As you get cleaner, you are on another level. And it's not an arrogant level at all because you're...
No, because every time you do come up to another level... You see that much more that you never saw before that you need to change.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it doesn't make you haughtier. It makes you more humble.
That's so true.
Because it does. It seems like, is this never going to end? The more and more, the more I get rid of, it's just that much more that I've got to get rid of.
And so it makes sense that if you're just coming in, you haven't went through that process.
Mm-hmm.
So that, once again, it's not an arrogant condition that we have
no.
here at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
no.
even a...
Stuff like that because we're all open books.
Yep.
And we can reach you because we've already been there.
So give me what has happened here that you never expected to happen here. Probably the more that we've moved into a very large ministry, that might be where
your
mind goes.
That's pretty much it. We're in the past, we were a family.
Mm-hmm.
And we are still a family, but now we are a ministry. And... That's really kind of hard to explain, especially if you haven't experienced it.
Right. If you have not experienced it, that is the truth. If you were not here when we were family, but you are now here when we're ministry, you cannot put into words what has really happened to this people.
And I don't know about others, for me, that was a big adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about other ones, but I think maybe women tendency to be more not wanting change.
Right.
Or men doesn't bother them so much. But
it was a lot of change for you.
But it was a lot of change, and it still is a change because we still do things. It will bring out, this is how we've always done it. No, we're not doing it that way no more.
Right,
We're doing it this way now.
Right.
But it's kind of like, I'll just make this kind of analogy. imagine that you were just a family, your basic family out there doing your own thing, and suddenly you're a family on a reality TV show.
That's very good. Very good. This generation should understand that. All right, put tens if you understand that.
It's we're still a family, we're still a community, but
regaining stability in different ways.
It is
because we were stable.
And now, like I said, everybody in the world knows this. You can type in straightway and it takes you straight to our dining hall on Google Maps. You know, it's like, come on.
And hey, there was only one or two visitors every like 6 months when I moved here, literally.
Yeah, we had them occasionally. We usually had an event, and then when we got into deliverance, we started having workshops, and we might have those 2, 3, 4 times a year. And we had a big crowd if we had 5 people.
5 people. Do you remember we had a family? They had 10 children.
Yes,
and we were like,
I remember them.
Oh my gosh, do we have enough
food
in the dining hall?
Have
10.
That, do we have just, chairs up here, you know.
Yeah, do we have enough chairs and food for this family? They didn't call us, and there's, you know, Shabbat meal, and there's 10 of them. Jesus.
Yeah, now we get 50 on a Sabbath, you know.
Yeah, 50, 60,
it's every
70.
Week.
Right, yeah.
So it's,
imagine.
It's a complete shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shift to a different plane. It's not that we're different,
yeah,
but it's a shift to a different
higher.
Plane.
Uh-huh.
And that takes adjustment. And those who live outside that, even maybe in another community, they still might have a partial concept of that, but they can't really see how it is for us because they're still not living it. They're living the community and the family and the tight-knitness, and they're growing in that aspect and whatever, but it's still a different shift going from just being a family community to going to ministry. And to me, that is the biggest change. And one of the biggest adjustments for me
personally, I think Pastor probably, not putting words in his mouth by any means, I'm just guessing that he probably knew that this would happen, you know, in his life. He probably knew that the Most High was going to gather his people because he's a biblical man. He knew the promises. When I came here, I didn't know the promises of the Father. I didn't know about the gathering or the scattering as the sands of the sea and gathering from the four corners of the earth. I did not know Bible prophecy. So I remember when Mother Carol prophesied up front, and I was just getting used to even her having that gift, and she said, or the Most High said through her, now's the time I'm gathering you together. Time is wrapping up. Your unity in me is your protection. Get in the ark. That's what the Most High told us, that time was wrapping up. And that very next Shabbat, 7 days later, Elder Rufus came for the very first time. He had never stepped foot on the soil, so him and Sister Jennifer strolled through here, still doing their thing, trying to find the way. And after that weekend, we had someone ever since. And that was
years ago. Yeah,
it's
very rare for us not to have somebody extra or new now.
Every single week.
Every week.
And for me, I've enjoyed it as I got really used to it because it helps. You know, you get excited about the Sabbath. You get excited about meeting somebody new, hearing somebody else's story, you know, seeing what Yah has done for others that are scattered out there, not knowing any of you. You know, we know people in Finland now, in Germany, et cetera, all these places, Canada, and I would have never known, you know, saints scattered that far. So the Most High has done beautiful, wonderful things. What about you, Tomoko? Do you think of anything as we talk, or are you just listening?
I am listening.
She's just listening.
Yes,
so let's jump to Vicky. So do you have anything to say with drastic differences that have made things better than, you know, how it used to be, let's say, in the beginning?
How it used to be? Deliverance.
Oh,
go for the deliverance.
What do you mean? There was a time without it?
Oh, yes, there was a time even here on the land. I mean, not that some of us didn't have some experience a little bit here and there with it, or hadn't done
or knowledge of it,
but to be complete and whole, no. And once we got into deliverance, that's when we really started working towards true peace on the land. I mean, we had a level of it before, but hey, when you start getting rid of all these tons of spirits, and I'm sorry, people come here and say, oh, I got one demon out, I'm good. I'm like, you just look at them. And you give them that look. No, you got probably a few thousand more there. Come on.
Seriously. we've seen that that's why, you know, us experience is so vital. It's so important because you've seen those who proclaim to have the Holy Spirit that really don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a merciful opinion that we have. It's never, we're not a judgmental people by any means.
No.
We get judged the hardest.
Yes.
We get judged the hardest with the biggest finger pointed at us because we look like country bumpkins with accents and what the hell are we doing, Jim Jones following pastor, et cetera. We get the accusations. Like I said, we are not bothered at all. Yah's doing a beautiful thing. But we have seen so much, and experience should afford us the right to share what we've seen. And it should afford you the right to sit at someone's feet, you know,
mm-hmm.
those who are coming in new. And you should really check yourself. I go back to this because it just keeps coming in my spirit, the teachable spirit. It is foreign in this generation to have a teachable spirit. You think when you ask a question that you have a teachable spirit, and that's not even
no,
it.
No, it's not. Many questions that are asked, they are asked with the intent to get an answer that they want to hear. And it's amazing the amount of people will keep asking the same question in different ways, or they think they can get the answer they want. But on the deliverance, people, it's like this generation is just really different. Microwave generation, how many times have we heard it? Many folks come and they do want deliverance, and many, they get it, or at least to a certain extent, as willing as far as they are willing to go with it, which is a biggie. It goes only goes as far as they're willing to go.
Right.
They want to come, but they want everyone else to do it all for them. They don't want to do their own digging, their own research. They don't want to really go into themselves and truly look at themselves. They want us to just tell them, oh, you got the spirit, we'll deliver to get it out. No. You need to search your heart. You got to go through that heart, that a lot of research in your heart to find out where you've given all those legal grounds. Where are the areas that you've sinned that has allowed this to work in you?
This is
real.
Have
you truly repented? Have you truly, that's the biggest, truly repent? People say a lot, but it's not from their heart.
Do you want to change?
And are you willing to totally change? And you don't get a lot of that. A lot of people come for a quick fix.
They just want to be free from the spirit talking to them.
Mm-hmm. Or they want healed of something, or they want something in their life to change immediately. And so you...
And the Father's not fooled by that.
And he's not. Now, does he have mercy on people? Yes. Far more than we deserve. But many, they don't want to get in and dig into that painful part of their heart to where they really need to be to get the true deliverance down deep and get rid of a lot of that stuff. And that's why so much is recurring. Or like, so they come here, they get one or two spirits, you know, cast out, but nothing really changed, and they're good to go because that's as far as they wanted to go. Or I'll say that's as far as they wanted to see themselves. I'll put it that way.
Right.
Because I think that's the biggest, people don't want to see the stuff in them. Or they don't want to acknowledge it, that that's really in them, or that's the way they really are. And if you can't do that, you're never going to get the deliverance.
It's true. And we are the remnant of the Father. And what makes us the remnant is how clean we are before him, how he's given us and afforded us the right to be clean through his blood, through his power, and just continually changing yourself and you know, not building more walls when you come into the faith, or dividing yourself from other people, but literally tearing walls down and making yourself teachable and learning, not judging, not criticizing, but just humbling yourself and making yourself vulnerable. Papa, what's a day life like in your life? What's a day in the life of Tomoko?
In the community?
Yeah, in the community. Alarm just went off. It's 4 a.m. or 3 a.m. or 6 a.m., whatever time you got up that morning. What's going on the rest of the day?
Okay, my master want me to set the time. 5:30, we wake up. Whole family wake up.
It's 5:30, where the whole family's going to wake up at 5:30. Could you do it every day? Could you obey your husband if he said every day 5:30? Come on, it's easy for us, Tomoko, to live a life of sacrifice, but I got to throw that out there because that's going to stump somebody. Go ahead.
Until 6 o'clock, we clean up, pick stuff up, make a bed, brush our teeth.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. Then 6 o'clock, we read the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And then we start the school at the 7:00 to 7:45. We finish one subject and we go dining hall to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we eat, everybody eats together here.
Yes,
I'm there. I get to say shalom. I get to see the children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Izzy is a great helper. Caleb's becoming a great helper. They split kindling. They take out the trash. Do little small duties for anybody who asks them to do. So they're also servants. And then, okay, so breakfast is over. You might have dishes. You might help with dishes. Okay, now you go home. And you're doing what?
That's cool.
Cool. The rest of the day.
Right, correct.
Yep, and then dinner's at 3.
Right.
And after 3, work doesn't stop.
Right, wash your dishes.
Mm-hmm.
Chore, you know, if you have to cook next morning, we have to
prepare.
Mm-hmm,
if your laundry day is the next morning, you're gathering your laundry, taking it over.
Right.
Maybe it was your laundry day that day.
Right.
And you had to put it all away.
Right. And clean, of course.
Continual cleaning.
Right. And if sister needs help, we help.
Yes. That's a big one right there.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think for me, I really started to die out to a lot of my selfishness, personal story, when I stopped just doing what I had on my daily duties and I started helping other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big one, living on a community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just, okay, I got these three things that I got to conquer and do today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when I knock them out, there's more time that I could either help somebody else. That's true, right?
Right.
When you really get blessings returned to
That's
you the more you reach out
Absolutely.
And help others. Vicky, all right. Alarm just went off. Vicky's waking up.
Oh, this morning?
Yep. She puts her 19-year-old socks on.
Yeah.
And
see, I went to the dining hall about 4:15 this morning.
4:15. Can you get up at 4:15? Can you cook for the saints at 4:15 a.m.? Come on. Here you go.
Had to get part of the breakfast done, then I had to get to stopping for it so I can go milk.
All right, got to stop cooking breakfast for the saints to go milk what? What are we milking?
The goats.
We're milking goats? Have y'all seen goats? Do you know how to milk a goat? What's the thing called that you pull on when you milk
teat.
A It's a teat. Milk comes out of the teat. I'm sure somebody doesn't know that. That's why I said that. And whoever doesn't know that's smiling right now. So it's a teat. That teat has milk. Milk goes in the pail. Pail of milk goes where?
In the jug. Jug goes in the fridge. Then I get to feed them, and then I come back up, and then finish breakfast.
Finish breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
After milking goats in between breakfast, she's finishing it because you're serving breakfast for everyone here by 8 a.m.
By 8 a.m.
All right, so then you're going over to the computer. What are you doing at that computer every morning?
Oh, I just pull up the YouTube, the Patreon, and the recorder. I do that every meal. Because one pastor may have videos to be played, and I always have the recorder ready in case pastor has any dining hall for you.
So she pulls up every morning. She pulls up for all of us because we watch Pastor Dow's YouTube as a family.
Yeah.
Literally, like in a living room. We pull them up on the big screen, and we check out all of Pastor Dow's videos. We want to do that. We want to. We're not being made to do it. We want to see what Pastor's doing, what he's talking about. So we watch his Patreon videos. We watch his YouTube videos. And she has the recorder set up in case he preaches specifically or personally to all of us. And that is very priceless. That was something that I miss as well, right? Do you miss that?
We don't get it like we used to.
He's a busy man.
Yes, I mean, considering back in the old day,
it was almost daily.
Almost daily. Meal, every twice a day.
Yes,
meal,
twice.
Breakfast.
Twice a day preaching. Yeah, the father was really rampant.
And we don't get that
anymore.
Often anymore.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was the father really getting, I know we all have, it's just opinions, so this is not coming from the father. But, you know, it's just getting his people ready to be an example. It was years of preaching and cleaning up and repentance that was necessary.
And I think that shows also, because when pastor has a personal message for us with Daniel, it's for us. It's
yes.
for those of us sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that shows as a whole our spiritual growth, that we don't have it as much as we used to.
Hallelujah.
You know, early on, of course, we all had a whole lot of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a lot, and it was working, all that grinding, you know, with each other and everything. And
call out names, you call out scenarios.
Oh, yeah. Scenarios, events, names, you name it, you know.
Just to help
very
us.
Very personal.
Just to love us.
And I think that it does at least maybe show that we have a higher, we've gone higher in our spiritual growth, and we don't have to have as much of it.
That's good.
But yet we kind of miss it.
Yes, of course.
because it's like that personal touch right to us.
Yes, so she still plows in hope and pulls up that recorder every morning.
Every meal,
twice a day. That's her job. So at 8 a.m. for breakfast, we eat together. 3 p.m. for dinner, we eat together, and she pulls that microphone up. So depending on what day of the week it is, depending on if it's summer, spring, or fall, or winter,
mm-hmm.
that would change Tomoko and Vicky's answer for you all. But judging that it was just this morning that we're giving the example,
mm-hmm.
now breakfast is over. We've watched the videos. What else goes on in Vicky's day?
Like today, since it's my breakfast morning, I couldn't do everything normally that I would do at the barn. So after breakfast, I had to go back and finish feeding the ones that I didn't milk, and clean the barn and get the hay and all that stuff ready and stuff set up for the evening milking.
And you're usually the one who picks all the lettuce?
Yes.
And that's either today or tomorrow?
It'll be tomorrow.
Be tomorrow. And that's a large, y'all seen our lettuce videos, so that's something that she does. I don't know, what's another day like? What's a summer day like?
A summer day? Summer day is, of course you get up, pray, read some. I'm usually out, heading out to the garden or the greenhouse.
Every day,
not that long after daybreak.
Yep, 6 days a week, literally. Even seven, because on Shabbat you still got
to
open up doors.
Yeah, I still have to open up and stuff. And then I would try and get it what I can in before breakfast, if it's not a garden morning where we're all called to the garden, to get as much done in the earlier, cooler hours as possible. And then we would have the meal. And if we didn't have a project set up for all of us to do together, like gardening or harvesting, which we might do,
mm-hmm.
Maybe weeding the garden, then I would be back at the greenhouse, either depending upon the stage that it's at the time, you know. It has a lot of different stages.
Yeah, and you might work all the way till sunset.
Stopping
just for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and you might turn red like a cherry tomato all summer.
Yeah.
All day. She might be 100 degrees.
Doesn't burn anymore.
Right. She doesn't burn anymore. She just turns red. That's years of greenhouse labor. I'm telling you, she's faithful. So depending on who you are or, you know, your age or what you got going on here, you can stay busy or you can stay lazy.
Yes, you definitely can stay lazy.
And Elder Becker talked about that too, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. That is definitely, a lazy person will not make it, or they won't make it long, because we've had many come through here, and just as the brothers, we have a lot of lazy-ass sisters, just plain. They're not willing to do anything. They will have an excuse for everything to not do something. Every time a project comes up, they might ghost, or they're suddenly, it's amazing how many illnesses can come up all of a sudden. Or I can't do anything because of my child, but your child's in school, you know, or something where they're not really hindering you, but they're an excuse. And which is what it is, it's just excuses because, one, they never sold themselves out to the Father. They are not willing to be here. They're here to go through the motions for what they consider the benefits. They think they're getting the benefits, but they don't want to put anything into it. They just want to take from it. And, yeah, we have had many, many of those.
And they all fall by the wayside. So any other things come to mind when you think of Elder Becker's video? I asked Vicky to go back and just watch it, and she already watched it. She already liked it, but the laziness thing probably jumped out at you.
The laziness, the all senses. It's amazing what people allow to offend them. Which is what it is. It's not someone creating it. They're receiving an offense within them. And it can be from, I mean, I can just start listing stuff off. Oh, I was told I had a milk account. I ain't milking a cow. I ain't living here. You know, literally it's just, oh, that's too nasty a job for me. I'm too good to do that. Me clean the toilet? No, that's your job. You do that, not me.
Yeah.
Me.
Oh, or you do it for me.
Yeah. Me have to go turn the compost? You know, it's just, it's amazing the softness, just the unwillingness. It really is unwilling. They, like I said, they want all the benefits they think they can get out of a community life, and they don't want to put anything in it to enhance it. They want to just take from it. As Pastor would say, ostrich takers, that's all they are. They're just, you know, they're not giving anything. They just want to take. They want to put, they want the free ride. Many people think they're going to come and just get a free ride. And so every little thing is going to offend them until some, it builds up to enough to finally take them out. And it's sad. It really is sad. A lot of people have come with potential to be very good assets to the community. But because they were never willing to give up their will, weren't willing to truly submit, you're not going to make it. And you can come, as Pastor says, yeah, sure, you can come be that new broom soup real good for that little bit of time. You might even make it 6 months or a year. But it's going to start showing through because you can't keep an act up, because that's what it is. It's just an act, and they're not going to keep it up. And it'll show out, and it's sad. It really is.
It is sad. So in a year's time, if Pastor's not giving you direction for the greenhouse or what to plant, et cetera, how often do you talk to Pastor?
Not very often. If it does, it's usually dealing with livestock. I might need something for the livestock, and I'll tell other elders, say, well,
a community need.
Yeah, run it by Pastor, you know. Or it might be, you know, Pastor, it's time to order the seeds. I've got a seed list, you know, made up. You know, here's what we need on hand. Or we have certain supplies we need. Or he may find something or see something. He may ask me if I thought it would be beneficial for the greenhouse or beneficial for that. Go something like that. But just in passing, rarely.
Thank the Father for a strong lead, though, right? Because the community would crumble without a strong head.
Definitely. A community could not operate without a strong head. And you can't have two or three heads. You can only have one head.
And, Sister Tomoko, in a year's time, how much do you talk to the pastor?
None. Yes, I have a husband, so,
right.
Yep, that's what I talk to.
Yes. And if Pastor's not dealing with me directly about anything concerning the community, it's a rarity that, you know, he might, now that I have children,
mm-hmm.
it's that visit over to the small children because he loves children, and he'll come over to the table and maybe he'll pick them up, hug them, kiss them, give them five, you know, talk to the boys. But definitely a busy man. He tries his very best to put himself into our lives because he's very far from our lives. On purpose. He doesn't micromanage. He's a wonderful man, a wonderful lead. Now's the time to call in. I got one caller that doesn't give me a number. If y'all need to call in, ask us anything respectfully. Guest calling number is 515-602-9654. Press 1. You need to press 1 if you want me to see your number and you want me to pick up your phone call, okay? Let me go to this number that it says not available. All right? All right, I'm waiting on it to pick up the call. Looks like Blog Talk's still just slow tonight, given some difficulties. So here, as the phone call's trying to be picked up, here you might have someone deliver your wood for you. You know, the brothers deliver our wood, carry things to the compost pile, split your kindling for you, take out the trash in our facilities while the sisters upkeep the cleanliness of the facilities, as well as homeschool the children, process deer together, process all the vegetables, do all the garden work together. The brothers are continually building together. Every day you see one another and you become family. You watch each other grow. You watch each other stumble, as Pastor says, poo-poo on yourself. You know, you watch the mistakes, and it's not a big deal. It's just family. It is what it is. I got a couple callers. I'm trying to go to you. Let me try this one. It's area code 973. It's not picking up the phone calls tonight. And I don't have a chat room. I just get some chat room messages that says internal server error. So there's nothing y'all can do about it. We really would love to hear from y'all.
To hear your questions, and I got two of you, but
it's not allowing me
to pick you up.
So, as I said earlier,
excuse me, still got the call from last week.
Depending on who you are, as I said, you have a different story. But for the most part, we have the same mind, the same goals, and the same vision here. And that's why it is a prosperous, peaceful vision. It's successful. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. I still cannot get the phone call. And if I can't get the phone calls, we'll probably wrap up the show pretty soon. It's still trying to, it kicks you back out. So what happens when I click on the phone number that I see that is called into the show or pressed 1, it gives me a continually rotating circle to show me that the call is being picked up, and then it kicks you back out. So I'm not able. I'll try one more time on the not available number. Area code 973, I lost your call completely. So, you know, the goal is not to everybody just run, jump, and desire to be on a community. That's not even how we think. We're just blessed and grateful to be a part of what Yah is doing. We don't see it as us and everybody else, or that there's a great divide or a separation at all. We literally, your life becomes selfless when you get here, but it becomes very individualized with the Father. It becomes just, here we go, got another call. I'm going to try area code 716. What I mean by individualized with the Father is you get, just a closer walk with Him, living and abiding with His people, because His Spirit and His peace abides here. So I don't think everyone or anyone can make it, just as they can't even make it living out there the way that it is. I would say 90% of the people that follow aren't even serious.
I would agree.
And Vicky would agree.
And it's not just that. So you may be out there and your heart's desire is to be in a community. And you may be, moving around straightway. And the Father sees your heart and you got a pure heart in it. But this may not be the place for you. The place for you might be in Georgia. It might be in Kentucky. It might be in South Carolina.
Or no community at all.
And if that is so, you can't have your mind made up. No, I want straightway. No. If it is for you but your place is someplace else, then that's what you have to be willing to do. As I said, my block, this is where my block fit in. And that was that was the Father's doing. That wasn't my doing. And so you have to be willing for your block to go wherever it goes.
Mm-hmm.
If that is for you, And like I said, not everyone can live on a community. Not everyone can make the community life. And then if it is for you, you have to be willing to be prepared for your place. Not where you think it might be, but where you would fit in.
Very good. So, it's still trying to pick up the phone calls. Looks like I will not be able to take phone calls tonight. So, we're going to wrap up the show. Sister Vicky, we are, as I've said throughout this whole show, we're just a family. We love each other. We adore each other. We learn all about charity. If you could just, in as many words as you want to take and as long as you want to take, tell everyone, dispel any lies or just tell anyone out there what community life is really like, anything that we haven't said already. What would you tell us about your family here?
Yes, you do see a lot of stuff out there, and people say all kinds of crap. And they may never even met you, but they've got their comment out there about straightway community, for instance. If a person has any intelligence, they're going to look at that person and see what else they've got. I mean, if that person's never been here, how righteous can their judgment be? You need to at least have enough common sense to look at a situation and try and decipher what's truth. Is this for everybody? No. So not everybody's going to have favorable opinions of it.
So this is not for everybody. If you can't give up yourself, don't even begin to look at community life of any kind, because you won't make it, and you'll just get offended, and you're going to cause your soul to be
and blame
damned.
The Father.
And you're going to blame the Father. Of course, you'll do it by blaming man, but you'll be finger-pointing at a person, you know, for the excuse for it, but it's really on you. But we're a well-oiled machine, and you may not agree with how we have decided to do things here for ourselves, but being that you aren't here, your input really doesn't matter, because this isn't your life. You ain't living it.
And it wouldn't matter if you were here.
No, because this is what we have agreed. This is what we are all in agreement.
That's
and
true.
If we are in agreement of how we are living, then it's none of your damn business if you don't agree.
It's true, and that's why there's so much strength here, because we are in total agreement. So when Pastor thanks the saints here for their love and their dedication and their support to him, he really means it, because we are behind this vision 100%. Has the vision changed from the very beginning?
No, it's still the same. We've grown. We've grown spiritually, but the vision hasn't changed.
And it's not going to.
And it's not going to. And so people can have their opinion all they want, but it doesn't mean anything. So.
It's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Sister Vicky, so much for being on the show. I'm going to go into Sister Vicky's kitchen and her laundry room and everything else and make some videos for y'all. She's got some things to offer on our channel, so you'll be seeing that in the upcoming soon. Subscribe to us if you haven't. Please subscribe to Straightway Help Meets. Check us out. I'm going to Tomoko. Tomoko, dispel any lies, or just support the community, or end the show with whatever you have on your heart.
Yes, ma'am. I encourage all the saints that, you know, this walk is a really enduring walk. And I think many people quit so easily, in my opinion. And this is about 19 years. You know, I was not the person I was in 19 years ago. Even last year, each year you grow, is you living here, is
mm-hmm.
you endure. Yes, Most High is going to show you the hardest person you see is yourself. So, you know, every man is all right on your eye, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to be deceived, don't you think so?
Right.
Right. You want to be right in
the
Most High's
eye.
If you want to be, you got to endure. So that's just a little bit tribulation, you quit. Don't do that. Just enjoy. Just wait until see Most High show you. It's
yes.
a beautiful thing. You know what I mean? Don't you think so?
I think so.
So I encourage you to don't forsake the fellowship. Just endure. I mean, you know, so you can have a reward later. Like a pastor last week, that was a beautiful example he gave us. The focus on the reward that I said before you. Not the problem. Just have a faith to it, to go into it, then
yes.
you can go there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That is very important, I think.
Focus on the reward.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I'm very blessed here, 19 years. I'm so blessed. So you're going to be blessed too if you endure. You know
Hallelujah.
What I mean?
Yes.
Yes, I love you, everybody.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Sister Tomoko.
Yes,
both of you. I hope you all have enjoyed tonight. I've had at least 3 phone calls. I'm unable to take any of them. I'm going to play a community favorite. As I've always said, we are family. We are sisters. We sing together, laugh together. We're passionate in many different manifestos. So I'm going to play a song for y'all that many of you have heard. And I hope y'all love it. Shalom, shalom.
gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay.